Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ann Ortley Show. I'm back in New York City at my bright red desk after my sojourn in Chicago. Good to be talking to you again from home, where things are cooking as usual. It's a beautiful, beautiful beginning of fall kind of day. And my phone's making strange noise. I'm assuming I'm still recording. And today, this week, it's actually kind of a quiet week in the sky, so we're going to talk a little bit about it and maybe get some extra stuff in because it is a quiet week and there's not a whole ton of activity. What we're basically doing is we're building to the Pluto station on the 11th of September, and we're building to the Mercury going into retrograde, which is going to take place next week on Monday, the 7th. So it's kind of a combo of slowness in the sky. When two planets slow down to station and or go direct or retrograde, Mercury's going retrograde and Pluto's going direct, what happens is it kind of slows things down a little bit on Earth. So we feel like things are moving, but they're not moving quite as rapidly as they were. The other thing we have this week is we have seven sesquiquadrates. Now, a sesquiquadrate is kind of a funky energy. It's a combination of a square and a semi-square. So the degree value is 135. They're not easy to spot in a chart in the sense of there's no, you know, like you can usually spot a square or an opposition or a trine. But what they do is they are a combo of a square and a semi-square. And if you think about what a square is kind of an action, a request from the universe for you to take action or to do something. And a semi-square is a stress. It's like, no, it's just feeling worried and kind of not, you know, and just the stuff isn't quite right, and it's just kind of, Now, so when a semi-square and a square get together, they form a sesquiquadrate, or sesquis, as we call them when we're friendly with them. And what that is that's a square that wants you to take action to relieve the stress. So you're going to feel stress, and then when you take action, it feels better. It's like really kind of cool. So we have seven of them this week, and they're kind of interesting because what they're really going to be asking us to do is stand in our truth. And if you look at a sesquiquadrate, it's 90 degrees plus 45, so it adds up to 135, which is a 9. All right, a 9 is a completion cycle, a 9 is a karma cycle, a 9 is an ending number, and a 9 is, on the Vedic system, that's the Navamsa chart. So it's actually kind of a call to move towards your best vision of what you can be. And so having seven sesquiquadrates, or sesquis, and a new moon, or full moon rather, I'm sorry, a full moon on Friday, and stopping of Pluto, stopping of Mercury, we're going to be having like developmental tension this week. That's about making choices and asking us to move forward. We're also going to be being asked to be in our truth. Now, last week, the planets all changed signs, which caused a little rumpity bump in the energy. We lost Ted Kennedy and we lost Dominic Dunn, two of my more favorite people on Earth. And as we moved into this energy of the personal planets in new signs, what they're asking us to do is look at things slightly differently. So because they've changed signs and because they're working in new energies, last week they kind of brought things to our attention, and this week we're going to have to deal with them. So what the whole purpose of a sesquiquadrate is you're going to feel stress about whatever it is you have to take action on. So when you feel the stress build up this week, and you're going to have it a few days, they're kind of scattered through the week, know that the stress is about you taking action. And when you take action, you will feel better. Now, sometimes when we're having stress about something and we don't really, you know, we just know we're stressed about it, but we're, you know, what are we going to do or that kind of energy, because stress is kind of a humming, you know, an anxiety kind of feeling. 45 degrees is like a little bit of an anxious energy. It's just not clear enough, you know. It's just, there's no right path. So when that happens, the best place to stand is, one, look at the fear. Because there's usually a fear or an anxiety around the action that you're going to take, that something horrible is going to happen to you, or they're going to hate you, or they're going to be mean to you, or you're going to end a relationship, or you're going to whatever. The other reason that sesquiquadrates are so stressful is because we know better. we are moved past the square, and we are into moving, we've passed the trine even, and we're in the place where we're like between a trine and a Virgo, you know, between a Leo and a Virgo. So we're kind of like 6.5. We're not old enough to be 100% responsible for our lunch money, but we do know better than to eat in the living room kind of thing. And if we spilled coffee on the, or not coffee, I guess if you're a kid, you would spill apple juice or something. We spilled apple juice on the couch when we knew we weren't supposed to eat in the living room. That kind of feeling. It's like we know better. We know we're not supposed to, but we're really anxious that we have to. And that's the energy of this week. So it's all about standing in the truth. Because, as they, you know, the old saying goes, the truth will set you free. On the other hand, the truth will also, in this case, make you feel a lot better. Because part of what the truth-telling piece of this is an honesty. And when you're in an honest place, you know, no problems, no worries. So the energy of the week with the various sesquiquadrates and the full moon is going to be about standing in space and looking at what your direction is, where you're called to, what you're really, your big heart piece is. And a lot of, interestingly, sesquiquadrates are active. The planet that's having a lot of them is Mars. Mars has two of them. And the Sun has one, Mercury has one, Venus has one, and Pallas Athena has one. So Mars is the planet of our get up and go, and our desire nature and our desire to need things. Mars right now is in Cancer, which is not a place he particularly likes because he can't be as assertive and direct as he would perhaps like to be when he's swimming in water, and he's swimming in emotions. So we also kind of want to watch the state of the moon. The moon this week is going to be in the outer planet signs. It's going to be in Aquarius and in Pisces and in ultimately Aries, but it's going to be kind of in a detached space, offering us the ability to look at the situation with a more gentle eye or a more discerning eye, because we're not going to be quite so emotionally attached to it. We're working with outer quadrant energies. We can say, you know, this is for the good of humanity. Or we can invoke a higher good somehow in this energy. And that's available to us. So you can say things like, well, you know, Mom really wouldn't have liked this. And they know Mom really wouldn't like this. Or, you know, I don't know that this is legal with the IRS. And they know it isn't legal with the IRS. Or, I really feel like I need to be honest with you about my situation. And when you're honest with someone, they are then able to be fully informed on their side about what they want to do. So this is a week of honesty, too, because Mercury retrograde, of course, is going retrograde next week, and he's going to reveal stuff that maybe you didn't want revealed when we go digging back into the past, because he's been retrograde since the 17th of, in his shadow rather, since the 17th of August. So as we watch this energy this week ahead, our energy is going to be really about speaking to the bigger picture of our vision of our life and where we want to go. And then secondly, around the focus that we want to take once Pluto goes direct in Capricorn. Now, we've been working for a while with Pluto in Capricorn. He went in there in January of 2008. So he's been in Capricorn for a year and a half at this point. However, he hasn't really finished all his other tasks, and now he has. So he had to go back into Sagittarius and say, okay, let's wrap up this craziness that we've been dealing with since 95. So he did that all last summer. And then he went into Capricorn in November, and he said, okay, forward. And then all the banks collapsed. The rest of them collapsed. The first start happened in the spring of 2008 when he first went into Capricorn. And now, you know, they've all kind of been propped up. And now Capricorn, Pluto's going to turn to us and say, okay, folks, you know, when I go through Capricorn, what I'm asking you to do is restructure your reality. I'm asking you to look at what is truly of value to you and truly important. And what is it you want to focus on while I'm in Capricorn for the next, until 2024. But really, what is of value? And correspondingly, if there is some structures that are no longer stable, I will take them down because I am Pluto. So one of the things Pluto is going to do is he's going to revise the structures that aren't stable in our lives. With that idea being, if the Saturn that you've built or the structures that you've built aren't really going to support you in the time ahead, he's going to fix them or adjust them or ask you to fix them. And your job, if you're a good little human being, one of the things you agreed to when you were sitting on your cloud before you incarnated into the chart you're living in now, you agreed to do your Saturn. And I write about this a lot in my column, do your Saturn, do your Saturn. And I frequently get people saying to me, what the heck do you mean by that, Ann? And I always go back to the Saturn is the call. You know, it's the thing that we love to do the most. It's also the thing that we're the most afraid of. And often you'll find that the thing that you really truly love, you're actually scared to death you might get. And that's Saturn. That's your Saturn. You know, I can ask somebody what they're most afraid of. They tell me, nine times out of ten, I can guess what sign their Saturn is in. Or what house it's in, because it can sometimes be, it can trick you sometimes by being in a tricky house. But doing your Saturn is what is required when Pluto is in Capricorn. Pluto is standing in Saturn's sign. And he's going to be in it until 2024. So as long as we do our Saturns, we're going to be fine because we're actually cooperating with Pluto's agenda for change in our world. Now, 248 years ago, when Pluto last was in Capricorn, was the beginning of the American and the French revolutions. It was the beginning of looking at the structures that were in charge of things, the kings at that point. And there were some large multinational corporations like the Dutch East India Trading Company, and looking at those organizations and saying, you know, this really isn't working for me anymore. And there were Boston Tea Parties, you know, similar to the tea parties that we're having now. You know, it's kind of this whole process of the government, that the structure that we've created, is it working for us? The corporate structure that we have created, is that working for us? The alliance of corporations, they're ruled by Capricorn, with government, also ruled by Capricorn. Is that working for us? And essentially, when Pluto hits a sign, it says those things somehow are dysfunctional. They're not working the way they used to. So when Pluto went into Scorpio in 1984, a lot of us knew about the AIDS epidemic because we'd had friends dying of it. But that's when, Rock Hudson came forward and said, I have AIDS. And Magic Johnson said, I have AIDS. And everybody went, oh, my God, they have AIDS? What? Magic was later, but we all went, really, AIDS? And then everybody got a little crazy. And a lot of people died from AIDS. And then they found a cure, or they found a way to make it treat. Pluto went into Sagittarius, and Sagittarius rules publishing, religious institutions, race. So we started with the O.J. Simpson trial. We ended with a black man and a president of the United States. In both cases, it revised our vision of race. The publishing industry totally changed. Music publishing, paper publishing. You have an internet website now where you look on the internet for 80% of your needs. You don't need a newspaper anymore. You have a cell phone now. You don't need a phone in your house. Sagittarius rules communication, publishing, writing. There's a major, major shift in the communication things. A few hundred years ago when Pluto was in Sag, 500 years ago, Gutenberg invented the printing press and said, let's print the Bible. Everybody would want to read it. And the priest went, no, 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 we don't want to read the Bible. No, 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 not a good idea, because the Bible was full of contradictions. So when Pluto enters a sign like it is now, Capricorn, banks, corporations, institutions that we view as supposed to be stable, and the government all undergo profound, profound changes. And that's what we're in the process of. And the Capricorn house in your chart undergoes profound, profound changes because Pluto's going through that house. And the Saturn in your chart starts to vibrate the same way that Jupiter vibrated from 1995 to now. Your Jupiter house was the house where the expansion took place. Your Sagittarius house was the house where your direction changed. So in my case, Pluto went into Sagittarius, and I switched from being a computer girl doing accounting software into being an astrologer. Kind of took a while, but I did the process. Sixth house lives, you know, Jupiter lives in my sixth house of work. Pluto going into Capricorn is going to make our Saturn house act up. He's also going to make our Capricorn and our Aquarius houses change. because Capricorn rules both, Saturn rules both of those. Not so much the Aquarius right off the bat, but it's going to start to hum a little because the Capricorn Saturn part is changing because of Pluto. So there's a structural change coming into your life, and it's officially effective September 11th. At that point, it's all over. We're into Pluto and Capricorn, no more dilly-dallying, everything should be ready to roll, your luggage should be packed, your game plan should be in place, and you should have at least a big idea of what the agenda is about. There's a major shift over this next 2 weeks to help you get ready for that Pluto into Capricorn and to help you understand it. And part of what that is it's the energy of this week where you have to make adjustments and you have to speak your truth. Because one of the things that Pluto always knows is if you're lying, and one of the things that Saturn always does is he catches you if you are. So the idea on this is to stand in your honest place and stand in your soul's heart and say to your heart, okay, what is it I truly, deeply want to do? What is my deepest fear and what is my deepest wish and how are they related? And somehow, some way this week, you're going to be asked to stand in that space and own that truth and to speak it and to say, you know what I really want? I really want this. And so your job is to say, okay, I'm totally ready. I can do it. You're going to feel a little anxious because it is a sesquiquadrate or a sesqui, as we say. And it's okay. You know, everybody else is anxious too. Whenever we stand in the thing that we really, truly, deeply want, and yet we're afraid we might get, of course we're afraid. When you incarnated, your Saturn was designed by house and placement to train you for your work. And if you think of what happened at 7, 14 and a half, 22 and a half, 29, 35, 42, 49, each of those years, you know, as you can keep going with all the different Saturn cycles, 57, 58, as you move forward with Saturn, one of the things that we've learned is that Saturn really deeply wants us to do our work. And the thing that we're called to, the parts that we really like the most, often is our Saturn. At the same time, on the other side of the line, the stuff that we're really afraid of, that's our Saturn too. So the fear stuff that pops, just own it. You know, it also is the thing that you probably were discouraged from doing when you were little because it wasn't a good idea, your mother didn't like it, your father didn't approve, the church didn't agree, your teachers didn't say you should, society said you can't, you know. So think of the thing you were told you really can't do. That's probably your Saturn too. And understand that really what you want to do is you want to do it. And that's what Pluto's going to ask you to do. So you might as well get ready because Pluto's going to say, yo, baby, I want you doing your Saturn. And the more you do your Saturn, the happier I am and the more profound the transformation will be because I am Pluto and I'm here to make you evolve. If, on the other hand, you are afraid of your Saturn, you don't want to do your Saturn, you want to hide in the corner and not have to show up, Pluto's going to come and he's going to drag you out kind of Indiana Jones style and he's going to say to you, you know, I'm going to pull you out of the rickshaw here. You can't hide. You got to come forward with me and we're going to go together and we're going to do your Saturn. So it's also a very pivotal time on Earth. When Pluto goes into Capricorn, we can expect and find major Earth changes because Capricorn rules Earth. It also rules the structures that support us, the things that are really good and solid for us. So we are also going to experience lots of changes in those things. And one of the things that we've noticed over the last few months, since June 23rd, as the eclipses have whipped through the last degrees of Leo, is we've learned that we're kind of growing up now. You know, we've lost a parent, we've lost some leaders, we've changed our perception. The people that were ahead of us on the escalator have moved up and off. And they're off into new adventures, wherever they've incarnated to, now that they're not living with us on Earth anymore. And we all are now kind of the grown-ups in the room. And you look around and you go, who put me in charge? Well, what were they thinking? And it's time. You're ready. You really are ready. You might not think you're ready, but you're ready. Really, trust me, you're honestly, honestly ready. So that's the other part of the energy this week, is to know that you are ready. And then with all these little energies of sesquiquadrates asking you to speak your truth and own your power and be brave and, you know, just kind of stand up and say, yeah, I want to, but I'm really a little afraid. You know, it's my imagery for this kind of week is the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz, where he goes, oh, you know, and then the fireball gets bigger and he goes, oh, and then he runs and he jumps out the window. We're all going to want to jump out the window and we'll be fine. No problems, no problems. Okay, so we're going to take some callers. The call-in number is 347-215-7467, and I do see a caller on the line, so I'll pick you up. So again, 347-215-7467. This is Ann Ortley, and this is Weekly Weather Report. We'll talk a little bit more about the weather and the full moon coming after we take a call. So we'll try and see if we can pick them up. Hello, hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. It's Ann. You're on the air. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm very good. I hear a dog barking.
I'm sorry?
I said I heard a dog barking.
No, no, no. It's my girls watching a movie.
Oh, okay. All right. Do you have a question? How can I help?
Yes, I actually do have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
I just recently met this man, and I'm very attracted to him,
mm-hmm.
and I think that he's attracted to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to know if this is going anywhere. Am I just wasting my time thinking about him? And is there potential for us to...
Okay. Well, what's your birthday? Let's see if you're having good relations. And give me your first name.
Okay. My first name is Christina with K.
Okay. And give me your birthday.
11-17-68.
11-17-1968. And your time?
I was born in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And the time I was born was 7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m. And what part of Finland?
Oulu.
Oulu. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. All right, I got you. Okay. So let's see what you're having in terms of relationship charts, Christina. You're actually having some relationship stuff. Actually, you've got a, you know, if you think back 12 years ago, there was a big relationship that came into your life then, too, 97 and also in 85.
Wow.
Hmm?
That's when I got married, yes.
That's when you got married. Okay, so you're having a repeat of that this year. Now, what happens a lot of times when you have Jupiter going through your 7th house, is it's kind of like bluefish season. Have you ever gone fishing when the fish are running? You're raised in Finland. You know how, like, there are lots and lots and lots of fish? This is one of those years where there's lots and lots and lots of fish. So it may be him, may not be him, but your chart's in the mood to fall in love and to find a mate. So I would say to you, you know, follow up on him, but also just keep your eyes open because this is the season where you have a lot of people knocking on your door and saying, oh, hi, you want to be in a relationship with me for the next chunk of time? Because it's Jupiter in your seventh traditionally runs, you know, brings in a lot of abundance and a lot of relationship stuff. And for you, Jupiter is in your fourth house, so it's a committed relationship, and Pluto's squaring it. I would check with this person and make sure that they are available for relationship. Did you meet them at work? Or through your work?
Actually, I met him online, and he is currently separated, and so am I. And that's what kind of brings us together. And we kind of had similar kind of marriages. His wife was emotionally and verbally abusive, and so was my husband. So it's not like we are just going, rah, poor us, but... I just feel connection with him, and I feel good around him. So.
Yes. Well, you're having really lovely transits for relationships. The Jupiter through the 7th, when I was first learning astrology, one of my friends had gone for an astrology reading with my teacher, and he was a nice, wonderful gay guy, and he was in community theater. He'd broken up with his partner. He was ready to fall in love, and he joined the gay men's chorus and met 150 gay guys who all had friends. So, and he was like a date and wild person for about a year, about 8 months. And then he met Rich, who he's been happily with forever since then. So you're having the same kind of transit this year. So I would say to you, you know, this guy may be perfect, and he may be the one you're going to stay with, but you're also, you know, the transit runs through December. So I would say hang in there and keep your eyes posted. So definitely it sounds like you have a similarity with him, and your chart is ready for relationship. So I would say to you, totally yes. You'll know more what's going to happen with him on the 15th of September. Okay, so wait until then to make any firm commitments, because with Mercury going retrograde, you may find out some stuff then. You go, oh, you know, not quite so much. But, yeah, you're really having very good aspects for partners. And with Jupiter in the 7th, it often is a very major partner energy. You know, it really just pulls in lots and lots of people, and you kind of go, okay, this is fun, and then you clarify. Are you clear about what you're looking for in a partner?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Very, very. Very
okay,
much so.
And
yes.
He matches that.
Yes, he does. He's
good.
He's got a very kind heart, mm-hmm. and he's warm, and he's a gentleman, and mm-hmm. he's very, very nice to be around.
Good.
So,
good. And you're a Scorpio, so you know you've got that Sun Neptune, and Neptune and the
he's
Sun
a Scorpio
are
Scorpio too.
Yeah, so that's really good. I think this sounds really nice. Because the Neptune is also aspecting that Sun, stimulating your natal chart and saying, okay, you're ready for love, you're ready for a partner, you're ready for fun. And you've also got Pluto coming to your Venus, which often is the time for dissolving the relationship, or that a person comes in and says, okay, I'm ready to transform my relationship and go in a new direction. You've got really good relationship aspects. So, as long as you know the story, you know, he's not quite free, you're not quite free. You both have to do the get-free process. I say forward you go. Don't be afraid. And he looks good. You know, you've got lovely aspects for it. So any other questions?
Yes. You said that until the end of this year, I'm kind of in this, I'm ready for a new relationship kind of phase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you also, right now your moon's in Aries, your progressed moon's in Aries, so it's still kind of hunting. And that progressed moon takes about another month and a half to get into Taurus. And what happens when the progressed moon goes into Taurus is we're kind of in the mood to sit on the couch and eat bonbons and cook good meals and have fun. We're not really hunting anymore or looking for anything new. And that transition happens around October 9th or 10th, around the same time that Jupiter stations on your, you know, on the midpoint of your two Venuses. So you're having really lovely transits. So I would say, you know, September, continue to gather information and see who he is. You've got great aspects for relationship. And then, you know, you probably are going to know what you want to do with him by October 10th or 11th in there. When that moon shifts and you're ready to kind of move into a different place. But I like him. I think it's good.
Yeah, that was my next question, my last question.
Sure.
This is kind of detailed, and I... My thing is that I always, I'm kind of naive when it comes to men. And
right. Well, you have a Sun, Jupiter, Neptune, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see, what I would say, Christina, is you see their soul. You don't necessarily see their behavior, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I met nice men before, and they turned out to be jerks. Just complete jerks, and I have had my heart broken so many times. So, would you be able to tell me if how he feels about me or...
Do you have his birth information?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what's his first name for him?
It's Andrew.
Andrew, okay. And he's born on?
November 19th, 1967. 1967.
Yes, 1967. Okay, and do you know his time?
I do not know the time.
Okay, and where was he born?
He was born in Georgia.
Okay, so we'll say Atlanta. Do you know if it was Atlanta or some town? Well, one of the things we need to be able to really see what's going on with a person relationship-wise is we do need an accurate time. And one of the things I always suggest to clients when they're trying to figure out somebody's time is to say to the person, are you an AM or a PM birth? I have this theory that the morning people are born in the morning and the evening people are born at night. And often if a person knows their birth time, they'll say to you, oh, yeah, I was born at night, you know, 6:02, and you're right, I am a night person. So that sometimes works to get the time. So without the time, we're not going to be able to tell 100% how he feels, but we can look to see how his chart goes with yours. Because your guys are born right on the same day, he's a Sun Neptune the same way you are. So you're both having a Neptune transit right now, which is in the, you know, means you're in the mood to fall in love. Your Mercuries are joined, so you're able to communicate with him easily. Your Mars, his Mars is on your Venus. It's in the same sign, but it's not quite on it. So his sex drive's a little higher than yours. You know, he's a little more passionate than you are about getting naked and pulling around. No, it's okay.
He must be very passionate then.
Yeah, well, he is. Mars in Capricorn is generally, you know, kind of busy bee. And you have Mars in Libra, which is a little back and forth. It kind of goes, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Although your Venus is in Capricorn, so that strengthens it. So we would give you, we'd give you points for your Venus strengthening your Mars, but Mars in Libra doesn't, you know, it kind of is a little ambivalent. His Venus is on your Mars, so you find him attractive. His Venus is on your South Node, so that's a past life connection. That's why when you met him, you had that feeling of, oh, I know you from before.
Exactly.
Yeah, his Moon's in Gemini. Depending on when he's born, it can either be in Gemini or Cancer. If it's in Gemini, you know, I would say to you, you always want to watch his behavior and see how he shows up. With a Mars in Capricorn, generally they tend to be fairly honest because it's a sign of honorability or an honorable sign. That said, I'm a firm believer with the chart, with the Sun Neptune person, is they may not always know their motivations. So the same way you fall in love easy, he does too. So you want to see how he shows up. And that's always the key with your chart anyway, is don't listen to what they say, look at what they do. And that's that. You've learned that the hard way over these years. So watch what he does and see how he shows up. But I like his Venus on your South Node because that makes it a little sticky. He does have some issues with his Venus-Saturn opposition about whether he's lovable enough or not. That you don't really have. That's not something you're going to really necessarily understand because your Venus and Saturn are not, they don't talk to each other. They're, you know, they're kind of, they don't have a conversation. So he worries a little more than you do about whether he's desirable enough. But that's okay. You know, the rest of the planets are nice. And I say full steam ahead until you run into something that says, well, let me think about it. And you'll know with his planets, you're going to know with him some clear. You'll have some clear information by the middle of September about whether this is a go or not. And then, in the meantime, you're having great aspects. So I would say to you, if it's a no with him, next, just go next. Put your hand in the air like a taxi cab. Say next. All right, good.
Okay, good. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Good luck with it, Christina. Okay, take care.
Thank you.
All right,
okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so we'll try another caller. Hello, how are you, 313? You there?
I am. Hi, Anne. It's June.
Hi, June. How are you?
I'm terrific.
Good.
Sorta. I'm putting on a happy face.
Okay, cool.
I've got a question about Pluto and Capricorn.
Sure.
Saturn is transiting through my fifth house.
Okay, so you're really focusing on love and passion and children and all those things. Yes.
Yeah, I wish, except that there's nobody there.
Yet.
Yeah.
Pluto in your fifth. When I'm waiting.
No. Pluto is in my eighth. Saturn's in my fifth.
Oh, Saturn's in your fifth. Oh, Pluto natally's in your eighth by transit.
No. Pluto is in my fifth house natally. Yeah.
In your fifth natally and by transit in your eighth.
Right.
Stimulating it. And Saturn right now is rolling through your fifth.
Right.
And in a couple of weeks, Saturn and Pluto are going to start a conversation. So they're going to bring up 1982. They're going to bring up all the times they've talked to each other, 2001, 94. And they're going to be saying to each other, okay, June, what's the focus? Where are we going? What's our vision? What's our dream? And it's a big one because Pluto, you know, and Saturn right now are talking to each other in the sky, and they're talking to each other in your chart. This also can be a really profound period for creativity because the fifth house is all about creativity. And it's the house of love affairs, and it's the house of children, and it's the house of how we believe we can receive love, you know, how we feel loved. So when those planets go through there, Saturn through the fifth often asks us, transiting Saturn, heading through the fifth, says to us, you know, what's the thing you really find the most joyous? What makes you laugh and sing every day? Let's have some more of that. Let's work hard at having fun. Let's work hard at playing and creating. Let's work hard at coming up with a new vision of what makes us joyous. Where does natal Saturn live?
Seven.
Oh, okay. There you go. So, yeah, so you're cautious in love anyway.
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. And part of my question is that there's just so much heaviness and mm-hmm. everything is hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's just heavy work to get done to move one small step ahead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which
it does feel, yeah, it will feel
I'm tired.
I'm tired. When does Saturn join up with natal Pluto? Do you know what?
Say that again. Oh, it passed it.
It's passed.
My natal Pluto is at 2806 Leo.
Oh, okay. So you're done with your Saturn Pluto. So you're starting a whole new cycle.
Well,
so So if you go back to that,
I'm not liking this one.
Well, you do have okay. You're very funny. I'm not liking this cycle. I know. You want to kind of file a there should be like some cosmic complaint box that we can drop an envelope in and say, okay,
yeah.
So like, what exactly am I supposed to be learning?
When do
from
I get
this?
To the easy one?
When
know?
Do I get to the easy one? Well,
yeah.
With natal Saturn in the seventh, you know, a lot of your work is about working with people, you know, because you do have Saturn angular. So you're supposed to work with people. So one of the ways you can help make Saturn a little easier is make sure you're doing some kind of work or structure with people every day, because that will help use up the Saturn energy. I'm a firm believer that they're like little energy bombs, and we have to spend as much of them as possible so that they behave better. Kind of like the kitten, you know, he needs to have a lot of exercise, and if he does, then he doesn't attack Max and Handsome, therefore make him exercise. Of course, he's a symbolism for me to need more exercise too. So in your case, Saturn in the seventh, you're cautious in relationships anyway. And when you're having major Saturn transits like you're having this year, with Saturn in the fifth, it's very likely to bring in partner. And if Saturn's in Virgo in the fifth, then your natal Saturn's in Scorpio?
No, Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, okay. Well, that's a little better than Scorpio. So Sagittarius is wants to be free and wants a relationship where it's allowed to be free. And part of what the seventh house is how you saw your parents' marriage. So when you think back on what mom and dad did, one of the things you need to always look at and say is, you know, I don't need to have the same kind of relationship they had. I can have my own version, and my version of it is this. And so as Saturn's going through the fifth, define what makes you happy in relationships and partnerships and makes you feel loved and creative, and then work towards that with the partner energy. Because what it does is it really opens up it opens up an energy where you're really in the mood then to be in partnership or to be in relationship, you know. So what happens is we kind of are looking at it and saying, okay, you know, you got Pluto going through the eighth house, which wants a deep and firm merger, and then you have Pluto natally in the fifth that says, I have an incredible passionate nature and being that as long as it is allowed to shine, it really is profoundly creative. At the same time, my Saturn in Sagittarius worries that if I create what I want to create, I'm going to be trapped by my creation, or I'm going to be controlled by my creation, or I'm going to be controlled by my relationship. And so you have to kind of think about, like, well, what's your vision? And the seventh house as a marriage house, you know, it's your parents' partnership. It's what their marriage looked like to the outside world, and you witnessed it. It also is your mother's mother and your father's father, and their relationships are what they were like. So sometimes you can go and explore that place, and that helps clear it, or that helps it work a little better. Does Saturn make aspects in your chart? Who does he aspect?
Right, on my natal chart?
Yeah.
It opposes my sun. I've got a square.
A T-square?
T-square with my sun, moon, and Saturn.
Oh, okay, so your sun.
I think I've got trouble.
Yeah.
That's been the pattern,
no.
At least.
Well, but your sun, you know, so your sun's in Gemini, right?
Right.
And then your moon's in either Virgo or Pisces.
In Virgo.
Okay, so you watched your father.
Yes, Saturn just blasted through. I mean, Pluto.
Yeah, if he was in Virgo, he just did a number
Jupiter
on all
right,
of your.
Jupiter
yeah.
right now, yeah.
Yeah, on your emotions and on your sense of what's possible and what your belief systems are about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because Saturn coming to your moon says the vows that you made back when you were in grammar school, back when you were a young child, they don't hold anymore. You got to put those vows down. And a vow can turn bad on us. You know, I vow I'm never, you know, I know I remember in high school going to the bathroom and watching girls cry. And I have Saturn in Scorpio, so I have a little commitment issues myself. And I, you know, and I was like, I don't ever want to cry in a bathroom like these people are crying. I can't believe these women are crying in the bathroom. Of course, you know, I cried in the bathroom. But it's, I didn't want to. Saturn, and so Virgo makes vows. I vow never to do, 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 do. So Moon in Virgo makes vows that become habits that then become kind of bad. You know, they kind of weave in there. And so as Saturn goes over the Moon, what he would have asked you to do is look at the vows you've made and see if they're still valid. And see if you still want to keep them. And if your sun and moon are square, Gemini and Virgo are square,
mm-hmm.
that says you didn't really see a good model of relationship when you were younger.
True.
Parents didn't agree. Father was, you know, told stories and did different things. Mom worried and obsessed and maybe was a little neurotic. And you kind of looked and said, this is bad. I don't want this. What do you want? What's the vision? And Pluto in Capricorn is saying to you, you know, for you it's about the passion and the love and the creativity because Pluto's in your fifth. It really wants a profound connection on a new level. And how do you give that to yourself? Where does that come from? And, you know, look at the model of your relationships with your women friends. Look at the model of the relationships with people that you've been in partnership with and kind of say, well, my vision for myself is what? And if you do that, it will help a lot. You know, because there really is this profound change. And when Pluto goes direct in a couple of weeks, we're all going to be going, whoa, okay, time to move forward. And your chart on some level is ready to go. What's your Venus in?
Gemini.
Okay, so.
So I just had in.
So Pluto was just opposite the Gemini
correct,
stuff.
Right.
So he also helped you see relationships on a whole new level when he was opposite that Venus.
Yeah, they kind of blew up.
yeah, but they blew up, that they needed
to blow. My grandmother died, I mean, when it was exact.
And she's
like a mother, major mother figure for me. So
that was not
a good time either.
Yeah.
Although it brought a new friend into my life who, you know, is not a permanent, deep relation, you know, a romantic relationship. But, there's been a lot of action.
Yeah, I would say, you know, because you've got a lot of activity, it sounds like, with, you know, just Saturn alone through the mutable signs, he's going to have woken up that T-square and take you back to your earliest vision of what you want, because you're going to have, you know, if you're Pluto and Leo, you've got Leo on the fifth house and maybe even on the fourth house, so it's also back to the pre-verbal time, you know, what you learned when you were little before you had even words to form.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been really clearing that out and saying, you know, and if you think back 7 years ago to 2002, when you were having Saturn on your sun, that was a new cycle that began. And so now Saturn's saying to you, okay, now we're on your moon. Now that was your intellectual ego cycle in 2002. Now we're talking to your emotions. Let's get the two of them together and come up with a new vision of what we want to create for you. So it's profound time. Saturn through the fifth also often changes your work or your work structure.
Well, it has, and one of the good things that has come from it is that, you know, I'm in Detroit where we have 30% unemployment and one of the worst economies anywhere, and business is slow for me. I do consulting work, which I got a wonderful client that I know is, you know, like there that sustains me. But I also have been following a creative outlet, which I enjoy, which is sewing and designing, and came up with a product.
Good.
That I'm looking at marketing. So
very cool. Well, that's Saturn in your fifth.
Yeah.
Creating
something
that's really profound. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
is it like a practical thing that helps the people would love to have?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a for sport gear. It's a little bag that I made, but yeah, I mean, so it doesn't feel profound in the grand scheme of things. I haven't, you know, found the cure for polio or anything like that, but
it may be the beginning of your empire. Don't go knocking it down, you know.
Well, I know. I'm hoping I can be another one of the Spanx lady.
Yes. Like, let me go.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's sort of slow taking off, and it's taken a lot of, I guess, you know, I've had to have a lot of conversations with myself about you have to, like, keep doing this, keep working it to
mm-hmm.
keep motivated, which has been
right.
just really difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm concerned that, you know, that whole Pluto and Capricorn thing is going to be like this for the next 20 years.
Well, it is right now. Yeah, you know, I think part of it is because Saturn's in Virgo, and when he's in Virgo, he's a little bit of a worrywart. So Pluto in Capricorn is going to be like Pluto was when he was in Sag. He's going to take the flavor of the planet. So the start off was in Virgo, which is not where Saturn necessarily likes to be because he's highly critical and he's very cranky and he worries a lot. In October, he goes into Libra. So I'm kind of hoping that'll make him a little more pleasant.
Yeah.
He's exalted. You know, Saturn's exalted in Libra, and he's happy. So Pluto happy. And then he does that for two and a half years, and then he turns into Scorpio. So that'll be a little stinky because Saturn in Scorpio is all about, you know, afraid of commitment and people getting weird and money tight and whatever. And then he goes into Sag, which is, what you know, the condition you live with. And so...
this looks like it's about, what, 6 or 8 years until...
Yeah. No, it's kind of one of those... Well, it is. It's a long... You know, I was at the astrology convention in Ohio, Illinois. I keep saying Ohio, and it's like, no, and Chicago, Illinois. In Chicago, and they they kept saying... One of the women stood up and said, when it's winter, it's winter. So Pluto and Capricorn's winter. And it's about...
For 20 years,
yeah. And so it's about us understanding what's really important. You know, in winter you bundle up and you make nice soup and you settle in with good books and you find people that you want to have good conversations with over steaming cups of tea. And the focus is different. Sagittarius was party. You know, that's that period between Thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and Christmas where everybody goes wild and you eat a lot of food and you drink a lot and... In my case, in New York, every time you're on the subway or the bus, someone smells drunk next to you, and you're all like, my God, I can smell alcohol everywhere I go. And that's what we're coming off of, 95 to now. And now we're into Capricorn, which is a little more serious, but it's also about eating your vegetables and paying your bills off and making your goals and having an enormous amount of ability to get things accomplished because Capricorn and Pluto are really going to want to make stuff happen. They're really going to want us to create what we're supposed to do in our lifetime because Pluto's going to say it's time to get serious about your Saturn and to go for it. And so for you, with Saturn in the seventh, in Sagittarius is sporty. So I think this is a great time for you to come up with a product for sports, you know, because Sagittarius is like, well, you know, if I can't afford a whole lot of things, I can certainly afford that thing. You know, it's like understanding
right.
what the vision is. Yeah.
Right. And I made it inexpensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's an impulse buy, yes.
Yeah, so there you go. So people are, you know, they're not going to be spending tons of money, but they're going to go, you know, I really love it, and it's not that much money, so I can afford it. Yeah, it's just a readjustment. And it's, I mean, for people that are used to always having lots and lots of, it'll be a little hard. But I think it'll actually, once we get the hang of it, we'll be fine with it because we're going to be doing the work we really want to do with our Saturns because it's kind of the state of, well, if I can't have it anyway, I might as well at least do my Saturn and not worry about it. So
now, I do have a question about
mm-hmm.
your statement of doing your Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Doing two Saturns? I mean, one, my Saturn in the seventh, which is
yes.
about partnering.
Mm-hmm.
But then as it goes through a house, as it transits.
What it'll do is it'll always go back to your natal house and wake it up. So in your case, natal Saturn in the seventh, right now it's going through the fifth. So it's saying, okay, natal Saturn in the seventh wants to partner Libra, and it wants to Sagittarius be free. So it wants to partner in a free way, but it wants to partner, and it wants to kind of hang out. And because it's opposite your sun, it's probably retrograde. So it wants to partner and be free without necessarily any commitments. So in that capacity, how do I partner and be free without any commitments while creating and having fun? And then in a year or so when it goes into Libra, then you're going to partner. How can I partner and create without being necessarily tied down while working really hard? in creating my new life, you know, or so it's always, it always answers natal position, and then it goes back to the houses it rules. So in your case, Sagittarius, Capricorn would rule your ninth house maybe, and Aquarius would rule your 10th, 11th in there. So it's like you probably can find foreign manufacturers to make this thing.
Yeah, Capricorn was my ninth, and then
yeah,
Aquarius my 10th, right?
Yeah, so that's foreign manufacturers or working with foreign affairs or working with people's ideas, and then the 10th house is on the Internet, you know, sell it on the Internet for the bottle. But for you in general, it's about always saying, well, as I want to partner with relationships, as I want to be in relationships, Saturn and Libra, and I want to maintain my freedom and my ability to explore my options, and I always am looking to learn from partner. Partner needs to be exploring or teaching me something because I like to get in relationships with people that teach me. Then I learn more stuff, Saturn rules my ninth house, and I take that stuff I learn and I move it forward in the world and I send it out to the world in a new version because my Gemini sun, because then you always tie, you know, you can tie in your personal planets. My Gemini sun's going to rework it and it's going to say, well, instead of it being so hard to understand, Sagittarius, let me make it in plain English, sun in Gemini, or let me make it, make two of it, make a positive and a negative version so I can present it to the world and people can see it in a new way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. And if you just know that your Saturn always wants to read books, it always wants to have adventures, it always wants to travel, it wants to do Sagittarius things with people, you know, in partnership, then as long as you're doing that, you're doing your Saturn. You actually have a fun Saturn because it's in Sagittarius. You know,
yeah,
learning.
Yeah, for a seventh house, right. Right. It's,
yeah.
It's, yeah, and some of it is I've got to find the people to partner with. So
yeah.
There's
yeah.
a big void there.
Well, but, that you know, you've been you're just coming out of living in the cave. You know, if Saturn was in your fourth house, you're, like, living home. You don't want to talk to anybody, you know.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been that way most of the way through my fifth house, too.
Has it?
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Usually fifth is it gets you out in the world a little more, and you're a little more perky. So.
Well, I've got Uranus, though, has been opposing all those planets too in my 11th house, and a lot of my whole social circle.
Your social
kind of
structure
blew up on me a few years ago too. So
So the Uranus in Uranus going through the 11th took out your community on some level. Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So hopefully that'll be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
or
and you know,
a new one will be created.
New versions of it, and kind of coming up with, and also whenever we shift energies, like from one major, whenever an outer planet changes signs, a lot of times the people that were with us for the Sagittarius journey aren't going to go forward with us in the Cap journey. Whatever the Sag journey was. I was having dinner last night with a good friend who's in from LA, and we were talking about it, and you know, and we were kind of mulling over the different people that had been part of her life in this, you know, the 96 was the big event through now. And like people had come in and she'd had these relationships, but they were kind of leaving, and it was like, you know, kind of like, well, what happens to me now? And I'm like, well, you know, the next chapter happens. And so these people were part of that chapter. You don't need, not that you don't need them anymore, but you don't need them anymore. You're finished with that piece of your chart, and now you're done with that. Now new people are going to come in that are actually going to be people that you're going to take all the stuff that you've done in your life and really work your Saturn with. So a lot of times there's a big shift and change when there's a tidal shift from one sign to another where we kind of go, okay, the old life's done. Those people are old life people, new life people. And then there's the people that kind of we carry along as we go, you know. And I'm pretty comfortable. I'm going to keep going with her because I've been through two Pluto transits with her. But, you know, it could be a shift. It's a major shift because what we're looking for, what our expectations are shifting too because we're going more to our Saturn rather than our Jupiter. We're going to the more important work
right.
or the karmic work as opposed to the fun play, gee, let's have a good time work. And that's a big shift for everybody because we're leaving Jupiter's, Pluto and Jupiter saying expand, expand, expand. And now we're in Capricorn saying, is it real? Is what you've built real or is it not needed? Do you need it? Is it structurally important to hold up your foundation? If not, let's get rid of it, baby. You don't need all that to dust. You don't need all that to clean. You don't, you know, just kind of make it like a Zen monastery. So it's kind of an interesting transition because the shift from Sagittarius to Capricorn is so profound. And, of course, the sign following a sign always makes up for the excess of the previous sign. So Sagittarius is like party, party, you know, no limits, everybody can do whatever they want, no problem, take out your, you know, take out your credit card bills and charge it up on your house. Totally cool, but it doesn't necessarily happen. You know, it's not real. So now we're into reality, what's really, truly important.
Yeah,
love, cup of soup, tea, and a cat in your lap, from my perspective, you know.
Well, I would think moving from Sagittarius to Capricorn is probably one of the most extreme changes.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't they have moved Capricorn someplace else?
No.
But
whenever
it's like
I
a body slam. I mean.
It's totally true. And whenever I do a lecture, I always say, how many Capricorns do I have here? And not one hand goes up. I said, they're all working.
Yeah.
They're all at work working. So if you're going to have to work at the stuff you love.
There you go.
So I'm going to let you go because I've got a few minutes left and I want to do the full moon.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. So keep me posted on love.
Okay.
I'm liking that with those transits, okay? Take care. Bye-bye. I'm running my switchboard. I'm not sure if it's working. Okay, forward. So we've got a few minutes left. So we're going to talk a little bit about the full moon on September 4th and what the full moon is going to speak to. It's a Virgo moon. High. It's the full moon from March. So if you think back to March of 2008, you started something back then. And it's culminating now, okay? It culminates on this full moon. And this full moon takes place between Mercury's, right before Mercury stations to go retrograde. And because the sun is in Virgo and the moon is in Pisces, Mercury is paused in the sky and stopped. And when Mercury stops and he's in charge of a lunation, it makes it important. So this full moon is pretty exciting, okay? We like full moons anyway because they make us see things. The moon has a lot of Earth in it. It's got seven planets and seven points in Earth and a nice balance otherwise. It's got even fire, air, and water. So there's no energy out of balance. The asteroids that are active in this full moon are Asclepia, which is a healing and a health aspect. So this is a great time to kind of get your diet in order or get your health regime in order for the fall. Sisyphus, which is that sense of pushing the rock up the hill and it rolling back down. Sappho, which is the understanding of love of yourself and love of the thing that is similar to you. And very active with Urania, which is kind of unusual ways of looking at things. Mars is talking to Niobe and Apollo, and in his conversation with them, and Vesta's talking to Apollo, too. It's about seeing the light shift. One of the things that happens in September, makes it one of my favorite months, is the light starts to get lower and lower as it goes towards, the sun goes deeper and deeper towards the equator. And the light changes, the quality of it becomes fall-like. So that will happen also on this full moon. The full moon takes place at 12:03 in the noon time. So the people on this side of the Earth and the eastern seaboard aren't going to see it, but it will be seen on the west coast, on the western part of the world, China. China will be seeing it, that moment of fullness. And if you understand what a full moon does, is it brings to light the things that need to change. It helps us see things. It helps us understand things. And as Mercury is stationing and getting us ready for his retrograde, we're all going to be in the moment of saying, okay, what's our vision going to be for the next chunk of time? On the East Coast, the full moon takes place in the hour of Venus and the day of Venus and the hour of Mars. So what she's going to ask all of us to do is to think about what we love and to take action towards it. And if we combine that with all the sesquiquadrates, which are about standing in your truth and being honorable and telling the truth and loving your love, you're going to have a really good time with this full moon. There is a little bit of a sharp aspect this week with Mercury square Mars on the 1st. And so what that's going to do is people are going to be a little bit in the mood to fight. So just kind of remember, they're fighting for something they think is important. Seek the balance. Mercury's in Libra, and he's stationing in Libra. So he's going to ask us to seek a balance and to understand what is important. Both options are available. Read Robert Frost's The Road Less Traveled. You faced a choice. You're going to pick a road ahead pretty soon on September 11th. So forward you go. Stand in your truth. Listen to your inner heart. Take time to meditate. listen to what your heart wants for you, for your life. That's what your Saturn wants. Your heart is your Saturn. He's the structure of your body. He's the bones in your being. He's your teeth. He's your skin. Saturn is you. Your Saturn is what you really want to do. If you do your Saturn every day, you're going to be fine. And Pluto in Capricorn will be your favorite transit of all time. And if you don't do your Saturn, well, call me for a reading. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye.